Then the question, are you listening? I'd like to begin in Hebrews, the first chapter. Again, I ask that you pray the Lord to bless His word this morning. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You know, we have so many examples throughout the Bible of ways in which God revealed Himself unto His people, and that the Lord showed that He was interested, though He was the God of all creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He showed that He was interested in talking to mankind, that He was interested in getting His thoughts, His mind, His will, His heart across to mankind. And He did it throughout time. He did it at different manners. We can't really search out and understand the wisdom and the mind of God. Why it was that there were periods of silence, that there were periods of time in history where it seemed like, well, in Eli's day, it said that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Well, it's always precious. But what it meant was it was scarce. It was the times when the Lord would come and give a revelation from Himself, where the Lord would send His word unto His people. This is the answer to the times that you're living in. This is the answer to what you're going through right now. That it was rare. There was a period there where it was silent, where it was quiet, where they had His law, they had His word of what they were supposed to do. But the Lord, at divers manners and at sundry times and many different times, the Lord came down and imparted to mankind His word and His will to them. Well, think about some of those ways. So many times through dreams and visions that the Lord would come and show Himself, Old Testament and New alike. This is what I want. I want to get your attention. I want to talk to you here. I want you to know what my will is. There were other times through angels and the visitation of angels that very important messages were brought through the messenger of God as His angels to come and say, this is the message of the hour. Do you know, those messages were never out of place. It was never, oops, I came at the wrong time. Well, I'm not real sure if this is what you have need of. But God in heaven always knows what we have need of. He always knows what we're going through and the situations that we're facing. And I might not know the word to give you. I might not know the answer to give you to what you're going through. But you know, the Lord does. The Lord has the answers for us. The Lord knows what we're going through, and He has a will for every one of us, a purpose and a plan. There were times when He spoke, as with Moses, as a man does to his friend. The voice of God audibly could be heard, imparting His will, His desire. The Lord spoke on tablets of stone and imparted His eternal will and plan for mankind and His law to mankind through tablets of stone written by His own finger. Read about in the Old Testament what was called Urim and Thummim, that the priests and the people could consult if they needed to know, what do we do? We need counsel here. We need wisdom. That they were able to go and the Lord would impart to them an answer and counsel to them by that means. We read in different times, again, Old and New Testament, about the casting of lots. Whenever a decision was needing to be made, that the Lord would speak of His will through the casting of lots. Remember a time where the Lord came down and He wrote upon the wall, as it were with a man's hand, and Belteshazzar and his wickedness and revelry there, it got His attention. It was exactly what he needed. It was foretelling what was right around, right on the other side of the city walls, unbeknownst to Belteshazzar. What it was that's immediately before you, that I've got a message for you, Belteshazzar. You haven't been wanting to hear it. You haven't been seeking my face, but the time has come to impart to you the word of the Lord. The Lord spake through a donkey once, through signs and through miracles, through so many different ways, that the Lord has showed I'm not a God who just set this universe in motion, and I stand back and just remove myself, and I'm impersonal, and you're on your own now. But he showed himself in so many ways. I am a God who cares, who sees, who knows, and who wants to communicate with my creation. Well, his purpose has been to make known his will. I'd like to consider Matthew the 17th chapter now. Matthew chapter 17, and I want to get the account of Transfiguration of Christ. A bit of that. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "talking with him." You know, there's so much in that. There's so much that picture showed unto these three disciples that they didn't fully understand at that moment. And Jesus even told them as they went down off of the mountain, "Keep this to yourself. Don't tell anyone right now. You keep it down in your heart and you ponder it." And the time was coming that they'd understand more fully what this was about. But everything from the foundation of the world, the scripture said he was a lamb slain from that time. It all pointed to Christ. Moses had foretold of this Redeemer, this Savior that was to come, and the prophets that came after that gave the messages from the Lord of what the Lord's will was, and foretold of the gospel dispensation, that it was all in harmony and in agreement. As they were in a time where the Jews were having a hard time accepting who Jesus was, they had the law and they had the prophets, and they looked to those things. Jesus was wanting to show unto them, and the Father was wanting to show, here's my Son, that they were in full agreement, that they foretold, that there was a harmony between them all, that this is part of my will and my plan. Well, Peter, whenever he saw that, and he saw them communing and talking with Jesus, oh, it did something to him. And he said, "Lord, shall we not build here 3 temples? It's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And it says, "While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He's the one that you're to hear. He's the one that you're to listen unto. I've sent him unto you. There's not another that is to come. You can't wait and look for a Messiah that's still to come. This is he. This is the one. The scripture that we left off there in Hebrews, it went on to say, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." God, who in divers manners, sundry times, spoke in times past through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. There is no other door. There is no other name given. There is no other voice that'll come and shine the light from heaven upon our souls than that which comes from heaven through Jesus Christ, our hope, our Redeemer. Hear ye him. Well, what does it mean to hear him. You know, the miracles were given for more than just calming the seas and feeding the hungry and healing the sick. But it was to get their attention. It was to show them that he was of God. To hear the word. The scripture says in Matthew 13, is it enough to hear? Matthew 13 and 9, he said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. 13th verse, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. This was about more than just hearing the sounds. There is a difference today between hearing and listening. Hearing happens just automatically. Unless you're hearing impaired, you're hearing the sounds that are coming from my mouth. You hear the vibration of the sound waves and it translates into stimuli or a signal to your brain. That's the process of hearing. But that's not enough. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Just to hear the sounds and the words that I'm saying. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. That there would be those that hear the sounds, but they don't hear. In other words, they're hearing, but they're not listening to what I have to say unto them. Well, what was it about the words that Jesus spoke? Jesus knew exactly what to say, when to say it, and to whom he said it. He knew what was needed. He knew the innermost thoughts and secrets of the heart, and the words that he spoke cut right to the heart of the matter that he was dealing with. You remember there was one time that the chief priests, the elders, sent out some guards with the commission that you're to bring Jesus back to us. Take him into custody. It's time that we try to get this thing under control. And they sent the guards out. And I can imagine the guards going down the road searching for him with every intention. We know our commission. We know our orders and we know the one that we're coming back with. And as they approach, perhaps they hear Jesus speaking and maybe is teaching a multitude or a crowd that's gathered around him. And they begin to hear the words of Jesus. And they stopped. And they began to listen. And it was more than just words. Remember, even when he went into the temple and he taught, they marveled at him. Well, they had heard these words spoken before. They had heard these scriptures that were read before. But he says he spake as one having authority. There was something about the words that he spoke that got my attention. It's like it was talking directly to them. Directly to who I am. And in that, I saw myself. And I saw things about who I am that I never saw before. This has never happened before. Well, these guards, as they were there and listened, it did something to them. The reason we know that is they went back to the chief priest empty-handed. They said, what is this? Where's Jesus? Why have you not brought him here? You know what their answer was? Never man spake like this man. What does that have to do with it? Never a man spoke like this man. It did something to us. I can't lay hands on that man. There's something about the words that he spoke. And folks, you know he's still speaking today. You remember the time that there were some men, the day of Jesus' resurrection, heavy of heart, full of questions, doubts. Walking on the road to Emmaus, and a man joined up with him, didn't know who he was, began talking to him down the road quite a while later. And a whole message later, I'd have liked to have heard that message. Well, they were there and they heard it firsthand. They got to the end of the way there, and Jesus, it was open to their eyes as they constrained him to stay and dine with him, and they realized who it was, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us in the way, you know, when Jesus talks to us, it does that. It does what I can't do. I can talk to you and it's just words. But folks, when the Lord talks to us, there's nothing like that. He knows exactly where I'm at. And he knows how to minister to me in a way that you don't know how. I love the family of God and appreciate you all. But there are places in my life that you're not able to touch like the Lord can. That you're not able to talk to me in the way that the Lord is able to. And I am so thankful today that Jesus is still talking. That he still wants to communicate his will and his heart and his desires to us. But the question is, am I listening? The difference between hearing and listening. You know, we need to listen for his voice. It's not enough to just hear by proxy. It's not enough to just hear the sounds or to be overtaken by such a loud sound. I can't help but to hear it, because that's not usually the way the Lord communicates. It's more often through a still, small voice to those who are listening, to those who want to hear, to those who want to know what the Lord says. His voice is still speaking. But you know, we can go through life wondering why the Lord never talks. Wondering why the Lord's never, I don't know, and I go through life, and I go through life, and I go kind of my own way, and the Lord's trying to speak, but I never hear him because I'm not listening. Listening is something that is active. It's not just a passive sport. It's not just as hearing is, that unless I'm asleep or hearing impaired, I'm doing it. But listening is something where I have to apply myself. One of the differences in listening is that it requires a curiosity, a desire to hear. It is paying attention to or being alert to catch. It is active. It is hearing with thoughtful attention. Have you ever talked to someone and you could tell they weren't listening? You're talking to them and you can see their eyes, or maybe they're kind of, you see they're looking at somebody behind you, or you ever known somebody that doesn't listen, they just reload. And they stop talking just because you're talking, and as soon as you stop, they keep on going right where they were, and you say, you know what, they didn't hear a word I said. They heard the sound, but their mind was processing, and I've been guilty of it too. Here's what I want to say next, and here's how I want to counter that, and here's what they need to hear, and I'm ready. Are you done yet? Okay, and here's what I wanted to say, and I wasn't listening. I was hearing, but I wasn't listening to what they had to say. You know, this is important above all between us and the Lord. It's important in relationships. Between husband and wife, boss and employee, co-workers, any human relationship, it's important to be able to listen. Communication is not about just one-way flow. It's about an active listening, about a desire to know and an interest to know what it is that you have to say. Well, I want to consider here for a little while what it means to listen to the voice of the Lord. Have you ever tuned something out? Where there's a noise or a sound, but you become so focused on something else that you don't even realize it's happening. It can be things like ambient noises that are around us. Remember, one of the office buildings I worked in, they piped white noise into the office. And I didn't even notice it. All day long, I didn't notice it until it stopped one day. I said, "What happened?" And it was silent. I didn't even notice. I tuned it out. It blended in with the background. But you know, we can also tune out that which we're not really interested in. We can tune out what we really don't want to hear. We can tune out because I'm focused in on something I'd rather hear, on something I'd rather be doing, and I focus in on that. You know, multitasking is more of a myth than it is a reality. Well, yeah, we should be able, as the saying goes, to walk down the street and chew gum at the same time. But you're not focused on walking and focused on chewing gum at the same time. You're not able to focus, really, on two things at once. It defies what the meaning of focus is. You're focused on one, or you're focused on another. You're not really able to focus in on both things at once. Folks, we'll be all right. If not, we'll sing "I'll Fly Away" and it'll be better. But we'll be able to focus in to one thing at a time. We'll be able to focus in on the things that are, really it comes down to the things that are most important to me, is what I'm going to focus in on and what I'm going to listen to. I have a problem. And maybe you can relate, maybe you can't. I have a problem in remembering people's names. And I can have an encounter, usually in a business type setting or situation. "Hi, I'm Clint." And they give me their name, and 2 seconds later, I couldn't tell you what their name was. And I have wondered, what is my problem? Why can I not remember their name? And so then it's this awkward interaction after that where you're trying to avoid using a name because you don't know what the name is, and you're still trying to address them. And I think, how much better it'd be to be able to, well, they told me their name. You know, I've realized there's an element there that is subconscious, where it's not important enough to me to get a hold of what their name is. I'm more focused on my part of the conversation. This is an interaction, a transaction that we have to go through here, that we introduce ourselves, and I'm not really listening. You ever found yourself asking somebody, "Well, how you doing?" without ever expecting an answer? Without ever... It's this one-way kind of communication that we've become so conditioned to, we almost be surprised if someone says, "Well, you know, I've kind of been having a tough time today." Huh? That's not what I meant. It was just a hello. It was just a greeting. But Lord, help us not to do that way with Him. Not to tune the voice of the Lord out. Not to become so focused in the things that I am focused in on, or God forbid, I'm not really interested. It doesn't capture my curiosity. It's not real interesting to me to know what the Lord has to say. I'd like to consider now 3 hindrances to listening. One of those is, I think I already know. You know, when someone's talking to us and I think I already know, I'm not listening real intently. If I think I already know the answer, I don't think I really need to listen. I already know about this situation. I already know the answer. So I'm not really paying attention because I don't feel like I need to. I don't feel like I need to take away anything from you of what you're saying because I already know. I'll humor you maybe, or I'll let you talk for a little bit, but I don't really need what you're saying because I already know the answer. You know, we can fall into a place of spiritual saturation where I think, you know, I've already read that before. Yeah, I've already read that scripture. I know that scripture. Or if you ever found yourself in a place, somebody gets up and says, well, I'd like to speak to us about humility. I've already heard about humility. I'd like to talk about faith today. I've heard so many messages about faith. I already know that. And it can be subconscious. It can be more than me saying, well, all right, I'm out of here. But it can be the way my mind processes, that I begin to separate the important from the not so important, the things that I don't know from the things that I think I already know. And if we're not careful, it can bleed into our worship services, our interaction and relationship with the Lord. We can call a song and say, oh, I know that song. I don't even need the book. I know the words and I can sing right along with it. Are we listening? Are we listening to the things that we're singing? More than just hearing it, more than just going through the motions. Am I actively, curiously, I want to know what this is about. I want to know more about this. What is it that this is saying to me? When I go into the Word of the Lord, it needs to be more than just going through the motions. I need to be listening. I need to be going into a saying, not, well, I know what the Beatitudes are. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what are you wanting to speak unto me? Because the Lord is still speaking. But it's up to us to listen to what the Lord is saying, to listen, to give careful attention to, so that I don't miss something. I want us to imagine this morning you've got the radio on playing in the background, and we have ways of tuning things out, kind of blending it into the background. But I want you to imagine the newsman comes on and says, a bill has been passed that every American will be eligible for a $4,000 stimulus package. In order to receive your stimulus, you need to... You think that would capture your attention? Or if you want to claim your stimulus number, money, call this number. You think you'd be ready to get out a pen and capture that and make sure that you're getting this? And some radio stations have where if you're the fourth caller or you're the fourth person to text this number, you'll win such and such of a prize. Now, to win this prize, text such and such to... And people that are into that, they're listening for that. I need that number. I want to be the fourth one or the first one into that. It captures their curiosity. It's something that they care about. It's something that's meaningful to them. So my ears will perk up, so to speak. Whenever I hear something about that, I need to get something from this. I need to pay attention. I need to get something out of this. Folks, there's something so much more valuable than a $4,000 stimulus package. There's something so much more valuable than winning a gift certificate to a restaurant by being the fourth caller. Folks, we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about the things that the Lord is trying to communicate to us. And if I'm not careful, I'll go through life, the Lord wanting to communicate, trying to communicate, but I'm tuning Him out. Maybe not intentionally. Maybe not with the determination, I don't want to hear what you have to say. But because I'm more focused on my things, on my stuff, I'm not real interested in what's going on or what the Lord's trying to say to me. Folks, do we have a curiosity about the things of the Lord? Is there something within us when we read the Word, Lord, I want to know more about that. I want to know why that is. Lord, I want to understand. If we go into the Word of the Lord with that kind of mindset, it's reading, but folks, it's about listening. It's about doing more than just going through the motions and hearing the sounds. If I go into it with the intention, the purposefulness, I need to get something here. I need to be able to take something away here. This is important for me. We're much more likely to get something out of it. We're much more likely to hear the voice of the Lord. But think of Moses. Whenever Moses was traveling through the wilderness and the time had come for the Lord to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt, and the Lord did so through a burning bush. But it required Moses to turn aside and to have the curiosity and the inquisitiveness to say, "What is this? I want to know more about this." And as he turned aside to listen, to look at it, to look into it, then the Lord was able to talk to him out of the bush. I want us to realize in our lives, the Lord wants to communicate with us. But it's going to require throughout our lives, not once a year, not a camp meeting time, that I turn aside, that I turn away from the busyness of life. I turn away from my things and the things that I'm doing and that I'm worried about. I shut those out for a little while. Whenever something maybe happens to me in life, sickness is a good time to do it. Lord, is there something that you're trying to get across to me here? Lord, is there something that you're wanting to say to me here? Instead of kicking the donkey, instead of saying, "You worthless donkey," is there something the donkey's trying to say to me? You understand what I mean? Is there something that this adversity in life, the Lord is trying to use to communicate to me? Where I could go on my way and just tune it out. And just chafe at the circumstance and go right through it and not hear a thing that the Lord's trying to whisper into my ear that requires a listening. Well, back to number one, first hindrance. Because I already know. If you fly very often, you'll notice you fly once, you'll see it happen. Before every flight, before they can be wheels up, they've got to give a safety demonstration. And they've got to talk you through it. The first time you fly, it might be interesting to you. Subsequent time you fly, you'll probably think it's a good time to see if they have a new magazine in the seat back. Or it's a good time for me to lay back and get some shut-eye. I've heard it before. I know the routine. And I don't hear a thing that they say. Lord, help us not to be that way with Him and with His Word. If we're not careful, we can be as the Laodiceans to say, "I have need of nothing. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I know the truth, I know the doctrines, I know what the Word of God says. I don't really, I'll hear it, I'll listen to it, but I don't really need this." You ever been guilty of you're sitting under a message and you think, "Oh, so-and-so needs that. Oh, I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they're here to hear this." No, Lord, help me to come into it to say, "Lord, are you trying to say something to me?" Help me not to go into it with this saturation that says, "You know, I don't really need it. I don't really need this. I'm self-sufficient enough. I don't even really need to go to service. I know what the Word says. I know what the Bible teaches." Or do I have a passion and curiosity to know? You know, you can usually tell when somebody's listening to you. And it's not to, you can't always assess. There are some people that close their eyes and listen. But generally, if you close your eyes, I'm not going to assume you're listening. You know, you can tell when there's a curiosity. Whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in service or whatever, if there's somebody that really wants to hear, what is it that's being said? Lord, help us to approach Him that way. On the edge of my seat, so to speak. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, you know what I have need of. Well, let's move on to number two. Hindrances to listening. We can fail to listen because we're not really interested. I already touched on that a little bit. It doesn't pique my interest. It's not something that my heart is really into. Lord, help us not to get that way of complacency in our spiritual walk, where the things of God hold really no interest to me. where I've allowed the allurements and the entertainment and the flash and pizzazz of the world and its devices and its entertainment to so captivate my interest that the things of the Lord just seem dull and flat and boring and hard to get anything out of. If that's the case, I'm not likely to get anything out of it. I'm not likely to get anything when I come to service. I'm not likely to get anything when I read out of the Word of God. To an extent, we get out of it what we put into it. And with good measure, pressed down, shaken, and running over, that the Lord would give to us. But I've got to put something into this. That's the difference between hearing and listening. I've got a part to play. I've got something to put into this. That's not just passive on the sidelines, but I'm actively listening to what the Lord may be wanting to say to me. Number three, we can fail to listen because we're distracted. As I mentioned about the multitasking. Multitasking distracts us from one or the other. I know I've been guilty before of being in my office on a conference call. And it kind of stretches on and it's not really directly relevant to me. And I think, well, I'm going to try to do something else over here on the side. I'm going to write an email or something. And I'm going to take care of something else. And all of a sudden I hear, Clint, would that be okay? I'm sorry, I missed that. Well, of course I missed it. Because I was doing something else. I missed it because I wasn't listening. I missed it because I wasn't giving myself wholly and focused to what was at hand. It's one thing on a conference call. It's another thing when it's the Lord trying to talk to us. When it's the Lord saying, Clint, did you get that? Clint? Clint? And I'm so distracted by all the things and the stuff that the devil tries to distract our attention with, that I fail to hear what the Lord's trying to say unto me. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. I'd like to read what the author of Hebrews, perhaps Paul, said here unto the readers. He said, speaking of Christ in the 11th verse of the 5th chapter, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In revealing more of the things of Christ, in opening up more of the mysteries of God, he said it's hard to be uttered, not because it's something out of reach, not because, well, this is above y'all's heads. You know what? You're just not going to be able to get the deep things of God. It's above you. It's too hard to understand. That's not the way it is with the things of God. To an honest and an open and a searching heart, the Lord's able to reveal. May not have ever learned how to read, but a man or a woman hears something and their heart is open to it, and the Lord reveals and gives light and understanding to them. It wasn't about the fact that the message was too hard to understand. It was about, it says, because you're dull of hearing. You're sluggish of hearing. It's not translating down into the heart of what it means for you. That you can sit and you can listen to the words of it and say, yeah, that sounds good. That's a good message. But when I leave and I walk out of that door, am I taking something that applied to my life, that applied to me? Am I going into it saying, Lord, would you talk to me? Would you reveal something about me? Would you reveal something about yourself unto me? They said, you're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. It said, you ought to be teachers. Well, why is that? You've been sitting under the sound of the gospel. I've been teaching you. I've been preaching to you. I've been writing unto you. You've heard these things over and over. And folks, if we're not careful as saints of God, we can come into the place of worship.
We can go to the camp meetings. We can hear it over and over and over and over again all throughout our lives, and it never really penetrates. It never really go down inside. It never really me get a hold of what the Lord's trying to say to me. It's the difference between a head knowledge and going through the motions. And I know what the Bible says. I know what the doctrines are. To all of a sudden, I see it. I see it. It's revealed unto me. Lord, this is why you want me to do that. This is why you teach that. Folks, every one of us need to get to that place. Need to be in that place where I can get a hold of it for myself. More than the sound of the words. More than a head knowledge of the teachings and the doctrine. Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to hear so that I don't go through all of my life. And then see sometimes somebody up in their older age of life come to a place where they're drawn away, where they begin changing and letting down of their standards and the things that they once held to. And, well, I never really saw it. Really? It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that you just came and you went through the motions and you just accepted it because it was taught and you weren't really put to the test. But the Lord has given His Word to us for a reason. Because He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to communicate to us. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, as revealed through His Word and by His Spirit. Lord, help us not to be dull of hearing. It can be easy to think we've got the answer, that I know what this is all about. God talked to in Jeremiah, speaking of the false prophets. He said, they're prophesying to you of a vision of their own hearts. I've not spoken unto them. If they had, paraphrasing here a little bit, if they had tarried and inquired at my mouth, then you would have understood the message that I'm trying to. But what they're giving you is not from me. It's just of their own ideas. They thought they knew, and they went running with that, and it wasn't from me. They were listening to the wrong thing. They were hearing the wrong message, that of their own voice, their own thoughts. I'd like to recall our attention before we close to Samuel. Remember back to the comment made about the word of the Lord being precious in the days of Eli. Eli had gotten into a place where the Lord's displeasure was upon him. His sons, he had allowed to not dealt with the way his sons were conducting themselves as the priests. And it had been a while. It sounds like from reading of the passage that Eli had heard from the Lord. Here's Samuel now as a young child coming up under his tutelage, and comes one night where Samuel lays down and he hears his voice being called. And he ran into Eli and said, Eli, what is it? You called me. Son, I didn't call you. Go lay down again. Laid down again. Second time he heard it. Eli, what is it? You've called me. I didn't call you. And Eli finally realized, almost as if he remembered, what it was for the Lord to call your name. Said, Samuel, go back and lay down. And the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, I'm listening. I recognize now that you're trying to talk to me, that you're trying to communicate to me. It can take a while, especially children and young people, for us to learn the voice of the Lord. And I think we're probably all in that school. Lord, help me to recognize your voice. To recognize when it is that you're trying to get my attention. And what I really want us to get a hold of this morning is that our heart would be as Samuel's was. That our response to the Lord would be, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I'm going to put myself in a place. I'm going to lay down again. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear what your voice has to say to me. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. I'd like to close in the book of Luke. Luke, the 7th chapter. This was a setting where Jesus was invited by one of the Pharisees into his house to have a meal with him. Jesus then went in and he sat down with him. It begins in the 36th verse. And it says that as he was sitting down to supper with this Pharisee, that a woman of the city came in who was known to this Pharisee to be a vile sinner woman. And she came in and approached unto Jesus. And I can just imagine from what we gather from this passage, this Simon the Pharisee, as he's sitting there, I wonder if the master is going to know who she really is. Maybe waiting any minute now, Jesus is going to turn her around and send her packing because she's unclean, because she's a sinner. But he didn't. And here she came in her tears and contriteness of heart, began washing his feet with her tears. Well, it says in the 39th verse, "Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering his thought." He didn't say anything to Jesus. But Jesus, hearing the thought that was going on in his mind, answered that man. You know the Lord's able to answer us before we even speak. The Lord has the answer for us. Jesus answering said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." You ever had the Lord do that to you? "Clint, I've got something to say to you." You know the Lord wants to say something to every one of us throughout our lives, where He'll come along if we'll listen. And He'll call our name and say, "I have something to say to you." This isn't about your brother. This isn't about someone else. This is for you. But notice what Simon's response was. I don't know what happened to Simon after this. I'd like to think he pondered in his heart what the Lord said to him, and he became one of his most ardent followers. I don't know. But you notice what his response was when he said, "Simon, I've got something to say to you." You know, he could have said, "Well, I'm busy. I don't have time for that." Or he could have said, "Well, I got something to say to you, Jesus. You know who this woman was? Do you know?" But notice what his response was. "Master, say on." And that's what I want us to take away from this passage. Master, say on. Lord, what is it that you have to say to me? It might cut. It might hurt. It might be something that reveals myself unto me, as Jesus was kind of doing. But it was in His love that He said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Lord, help us to be of the heart, of the mindset. Lord, I want to know. Folks, if it hurts, Lord, give it to me. I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to know what it is that's going to be required of me to stand before Him in glory. I want to know. I want to know what the Lord has to say to me. I don't want to just deceive myself in my own mind, saying, "Well, you know, Clint, you're justified because of this. Well, did you see the way they acted? You're justified. Well, you're better than they are. Well, at least you didn't this or that." And I can listen to those kind of thoughts and those kind of voices, and the Lord's trying to say, "I have something I want to say to you. I have something I want to show you, that I want to teach you." Lord, help us to be of the heart that we say, "Master, say on." What is the Lord trying to say to you, to me? Can we tell Him, "Lord, say on. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth"? Song says, number 418, oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. You know, there's a voice, still small voice, that wants to call after us and turn us from the way when we start to go down the wrong path. It wants to set us back in the straight and narrow way. Are we listening? You pray for me. Amen.